Wow, it is the River of God. Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life on this beautiful Labor Day weekend Sunday. Here we are at the radio station live in Clearwater, Florida. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we're excited to be on the air every single time that we are, aren't Amen. We, Deb? I mean, it's just fun. I've got Deb beside me to my right. And for the first time on the air with us, you are in this studio lot doing other things, is one of our dear workers at Beacon of Hope Ministries, Nan Watson. Welcome to the microphone today.
Thank you, Bill.
And it's Nan's 50th birthday a couple days ago, so we're excited about that. And we have to get applesauce ready here, Bill. My good friend, and she's been on the radio show many times, my good friend in Indiana, Joan Tungate. It's her, I told her last night it was her 79th, but that's a lie. But, I mean, it is her birthday today, and that's exciting. It's not 79, Joan. I know the truth, and the truth sets you free, by the way. That's what they say,
Pastor,
right?
Pastor, you better watch that. She's going to get you.
She's going to get me. She's really going to get me. I'm going to tell you, that's the way she does. But anyway, I'll be hearing from her, I'm sure, later on Facebook, and she'll let me have it. But anyway, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. We have Engineer Bill in there.
Yay.
Hey, where's that drum roll thing? I love that.
Oh, you love the drum roll?
Yeah.
Thing?
What is that? What do you call that? There you go.
That's the Tiffany. That's a rim shot.
All right, the rim shot. Ah, okay. And then we have, well, I love all our toys. I have my bell.
Yeah.
Bell is for important points that we make, you know. The bell is really cool.
I was reading Billy Graham little book over the weekend.
You were?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good.
Well, then we better have a bell for that.
Oh,
you were doing
it got stuck. Oh,
yes,
okay,
there
we go.
Got stuck, yes. That's pretty good, Bill. And those of us out there in Radio Land that have become acquainted with Engineer Bill over the last year or so that he's been our engineer on Living the Good Life, he's going through some real back issues, and so I want you to lift him up in prayer and that he starts feeling better. But after he eats your birthday cake that's in there, Nan, he'll probably be just fine.
Probably. So
chocolate
takes care of everything.
It does, doesn't it?
Everything.
Yes.
Does it.
Yeah. And, you know, who knows? He may not even save us a piece by the time he gets done.
You left it in there with him?
Yeah.
I trust Brother Bill.
You
I mean,
do
trust
him
to eat the whole
Bill.
Thing. Well, you know, if he does, it'd just be that it's okay. We share.
we share and share alike. You're always giving him, like, soft drinks out of your little
Absolutely.
Cooler you carry around.
I gave
around.
Him water. He has
yeah.
water
oh,
there
he has water
brought
today.
In for him.
Yes.
Yeah,
so we're trying to take care of you, Brother Bill. You're just a sweetheart.
No problem. Thank you
all
so
right.
much, ladies.
Okay. All right. We're glad you've all joined us today. We like to have a really good time on this show. It's all about Jesus, but it's fun to have fun while we talk about Jesus, don't you think?
Absolutely. We can do that.
We can do that.
I mean, Jesus is fun.
He is fun.
He's fun.
Because he's changed our lives,
oh,
hasn't
amen.
He?
Amen.
Drastically. And we are sorry Alice couldn't join us today. She was scheduled to be here, too. But she is ill, so we're just speaking healing to her today.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Believe that she'll start feeling better right away. We have a great big day tomorrow. We've already had a big day today. I mean, this is, it's just like rush, 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 but it's a good rush, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We've started our Sunday mornings now at 10 instead of 11 at Beacon of Hope. The reason is there's so much to do all day. We needed the extra time. And one of those things we do on the first Sunday of every month is, Deb, what is it?
Nursing home ministry.
At Palm Garden in Clearwater. Tell us about it, what happens, and what happened today.
Wow. Well, Nan spoke today.
Yes.
Gave the little lesson today.
Yes. We need applesauce there.
We need applesauce
yes,
there.
Yes, we do need applesauce. Nan,
awesome job.
Thank yes.
you. Thank you, Deb. I appreciate that.
I knew you had it in you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Really.
I appreciate
it. It was really good.
But it's just a really neat time for us to get together with the residents of Palm Harbor
yeah.
and be able to share a message with them, be able to sing praise songs with
yeah.
them, and just to kind of brighten their day a little bit. I mean,
it's fun,
there's a lot of people there that don't have any family at all.
Right.
And, you know, that's just a highlight to their month. I know they want us to come more than we do.
More than we do. We go once a month.
But we go once a month. And I really look forward to it because, you go in and you see these faces of these people and they're always smiling
yeah.
and they're glad to see you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get hugs all around, and we just have a good time. And then, of course, there was Leo this morning.
Brother Leo.
Brother Leo, yeah. He was our stand-up comedian today.
Man, yes. So. I think it's his wife that's a resident. I didn't get the impression he was a resident.
No, and I gathered that she was there for a knee replacement, and she was just there for rehab.
Short rehab.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was a pistol, let me tell you.
He recited the 23rd Psalm and did all kinds of things. He was really good.
He was. Yeah. He got you good.
He got
you good, Pastor.
Yeah, I was leading, singing, and being a little silly. And I don't know. I kept trying to get his name, and he wouldn't give me his name. And finally, he said his name was Leo. But when he said his name, I was calling him Johnny since he wouldn't tell us his name. So when I went over to shake his hand, Bill, and he pulled his hand back and acted like I hurt him really bad. And he was joking and being a silly guy. And I'm just like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, and he wasn't hurt at all. It was a joke. It was a big old joke. So he just pulled one on me. And
Pastor, what was interesting about that, you know, people joke and tease each other a lot. He seemed to carry that joke a little bit longer than I've seen that type of thing done. And I really thought that you had hurt him. I mean, his hand was hurt and you had done something to his hand. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. No, no. But it was fun. And he was just really participating. Yes. And what's cool about the Palm Garden Nursing Home Ministry is this is where Jeannie lived. Mm-hmm. And Jeannie went to be with the Lord a few weeks back, and where my mother was last year after she broke all those body parts. And so, you know, we have, that's how we got involved in the ministry there, and they asked us to have the services. But the nurses all know us, and it's just really fun. It's just great. It's a great opportunity. It really is.
Well, it's kind of Jeannie's legacy, I think.
It is. You know, Jeannie can't be there now. She's in heaven, but she's smiling down on us. And
oh, yeah.
You know she was getting a kick out of that whole thing that happened today.
Oh, especially
today.
When Leo got you. I know she loved that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Pastor, one thing I observed, you know, having gone numerous times, it seemed as if they were just happier today or something. I don't know.
They seemed
smiling a lot longer. They were excited.
They were really singing more
than they normally are. And they were just, they were charged today.
I thought that too. And I think a lot of it is they're getting to know us after almost a year there now,
right.
every month, the first Sunday of each month. And so they're getting acquainted with all those songs. And I love doing all those old Sunday school songs. They're fun. You know, it was good. Yeah, but I saw that same thing today, Nan. They really seemed to get into it. In a greater measure than they usually are. So,
well, we had some new attenders today too. That was really cool.
Had the room full,
out into the hall.
Yeah, out into the hallway, and the nurses, they are always listening too. So it's fun. So that's what we did today, and then grabbed a quick bite to eat, and here we are ready to share the Word of God with you and some great music. And it's going to be a great day because it's been a great day of Beacon of Hope this morning.
Amen. That's right.
It's been a great day. We just love sharing the Word. Our motto at Beacon of Hope is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And that's what it's all about.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So there's a lot of times in our lives, dear listeners, where we go through some very hard times. We're in a series right now at Beacon of Hope called Harvest Hands for the Kingdom of God. And we're going to amplify on that theme and what it is we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Elijah and Elisha and how that applies and the principles there in 2 Kings 2, and we're going to take it further into these Kingdom of God harvest hand principles that we can all learn from. And a lot of us go through a lot of fiery times. I mean, fiery times in our lives. So listen to this first song, Through the Fire by the Crab Family.
So many times I've questioned the certain circumstances. Things I could not understand. In many times and trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration seems to get so out of hand. Oh, but it's then I am reminded, church, that I have never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. That's when I look at all the victories and the power of God starts rising up in me. And it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. Oh, he never promised that the cross would not give.
Wow. The Lord will show up and he'll take you through the fire again. Praise God. I love that song. He said help would always come in time. Just hold on. Good idea. Don't you think, Nan?
Good idea.
Hanging on.
I've had to hold on a few times.
Oh, my. Yes, we all have. Where we felt like, where's that answer? Where, God? You know, where's my healing? Or where is this situation? How is it going to be resolved? And for some of you out there in radio land today, you may be feeling exactly this way, that you don't see an end to your situation, that you don't see the victory yet, and you have no clue how God is going to resolve it. And we are here to tell you today that God is a miracle working God. He is suddenly doing things in our lives.
Yes.
Suddenly came up again today in 2 Kings chapter 2. We are talking on Living the Good Life about being harvest hands. In other words, allowing God to use us to his glory for his purpose for the remainder of the days that we are here on this earth. And for all of us, we have no clue how many days that is, or if Jesus is coming back before we ever go to heaven. We don't know how it's all going to end up. But we do know that God has a plan for each of our lives. He has a plan. You were planned when you were in your mother's womb. God has something special for you. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2. And I was preaching out of this chapter this morning, and we're going to take it to a different level this afternoon. We are talking about the separation of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was the older prophet. Elijah did 16 notable recorded miracles in his lifetime. Elijah's name means God is Jehovah. That's what his name means. And Elijah's miracles had a lot to do with judgment. Elijah was actually a prophet to the heathen. I mean, it's really what he was. I mean, back in 1 Kings, you have the story of where the bad prophets of Baal were trying to say that their God was really God. And Elijah said, really? That your God's not God. God, Jehovah God is God. And as a result of that, they had a little test on Mount Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that test?
Fire. The fire.
And so so Elijah says, well, whoever can call down fire here from heaven and burn up the sacrifice, that's their God that is. And then Elijah proceeds to make fun of them because for hours, these bad, evil prophets tried to call down fire and couldn't get it done, you know. And then Elijah just simply goes there and says, okay, God, it's your turn. And then they actually put a bunch of water on the fire and everything on the whole trough, on the sacrifice, just to make it even harder. Elijah said, hey, bring the water in. Come on, let's just put a bunch of that. And of course, God, the God of miracles, bam, immediately.
Yep. Instant barbecue.
Instant barbecue. And so all of those evil prophets of Baal were slaughtered. And that was one of the notable miracles of Elijah. And he was always showing heathen nations that God is God,
mm-hmm.
you know? Now, along in the life of Elijah came a guy by the name of Elisha. And I said this earlier, but you all can remember, Elijah, J comes before S in the alphabet, and that's how you can remember that Elijah was the older prophet, and then Elisha came after him. Now, Elisha was out tending his crop and his flock and all of this. He was actually a big ranch owner. His parents had a lot of land. And he had been affected by the ministry of Elijah, and Elijah was walking by. And Elisha decided that's where he belonged. He belonged in the ministry at the side of Elijah. And we're not teaching that story today. We're going to teach the end of that. Because for many years, Elijah and Elisha walked together in ministry. Elijah was the one out there, and he was like doing all these crazy miracles, you know. And there's Elisha back there being his servant and learning what God wanted him to learn. And, you know, we've been doing this series, you two, on Wednesday nights on the ministry gifts, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And this story today really goes along with that, that there is that training ground for all of us in the spirit, you know?
Yes.
It's not that we just, you know, get saved and immediately say, okay, I'm going to be a pastor or I'm going to be a missionary, because it doesn't work that way. There is that training ground. And when you see that in the lives of Elijah and Elisha, it is so beautiful. And so here's Elijah, and he starts at a place called Gilgal. And Gilgal, this is 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Gilgal always talks about cutting and separation. So where the ministry began was where God said, I want you, Elijah. I want you, Elisha. And there is that separating of ourselves unto God, you know? And we're going to talk more about the separation probably Wednesday night. But let's go on with this. Elijah and Elisha were on a walk. They were on a walk out of Gilgal. And Elijah says to Elisha, to his servant, he says, Elisha, why don't you stay here? I got some errands to run. You know, I got some stuff to do. Well, interestingly, and you two jump in with your comments anytime along all this, okay? Because, I mean, I know you probably wanted to today when I was teaching this morning.
Oh,
you wanted to comment.
There were times, but it's just not appropriate in church.
It's not appropriate in church, no. But it is here, so you can just jump right in. You can say, what does that mean? Or you can say, hey, let me add this. So just jump in. But Elijah had a trip planned that day. It was a road trip. And they were going places.
It was a road trip.
Here we go. And the road trip was going to go to three interesting places, which are very important, that talk of our spiritual life. And yet, Elijah tries to tell his apprentice, why don't you stay home today? I think that's interesting. Because Elijah wanted to give him the easy way out if he wanted that. And a lot of times God will give us the easy way out if we want it.
Well, it's a test.
It's a test. It's totally a test. And Elijah was saying, Elisha, just stay back here and be comfortable today. You don't have to go on this road trip. You know, and Elisha says, oh, not on your life. I'm not letting you out of my sight. I find this fascinating. Because those of you out there in Radio Land and those of us at Beacon of Hope that are being trained up into the ministry have got to realize that you got to be in the ministry and watch it and be a part of it. You, Nan, you grew up in the ministry, really. You and your ex-husband were youth pastors. And
we did a lot.
You did a lot.
We did a lot.
And you were around it for all your life?
All my life.
All your life.
Raised in church, so I've been around it for 50 years.
That's right, since you just turned 50. That's right.
Minus 10 years that I wasn't walking with the Lord.
Okay.
So I wasn't going to church. So 40 years.
40 years.
40 years.
Okay. But you've been around and you've seen the intricacies of the ministry and how hard it is.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
And I think that's interesting that Connie started us off today with that song, Through the Fire, because the ministry is all about going through the fire. It's about those rough times in our lives where we are out there and we're ministering on the edge and we are like, I don't have any more energy today, God, or I don't have answers for this person in this counseling room today, or God, I don't know what you're going to do in this service today. And then when we let go and let God just do it. Did you want to make a comment there?
Well,
Go ahead.
I'm sitting here thinking about how, you know, Elijah gave Elisha the option to not go.
Yes, he did.
And how many times in my life have I been given that option?
Yes.
And chosen not to go or not to follow. And the things that I wound up missing.
Right. Yes.
But that's not to say that I don't still do the same thing now, because I've had opportunities and for whatever reason, I've chosen not to.
Right.
And that throws me right back into that fire.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Because I'm not walking the walk.
Right.
So then all the other stuff gets heaped on you.
And when we take a detour off the path that God has for us, it does take a while to get back around to the main road, you know?
It does. And it's a very painful trip.
It is.
I want to say something, if I may.
You may.
I may. Thank you.
Yes.
You're so kind, Pastor. You know, you're talking about ministry and just the load that goes with ministry. You know, some people, they go to church. They see the pastor. Pastor preaches 30, 45 minutes, whatever. Stands at the back door, shakes the hands of everybody, kisses the babies as they go on, you know, just greets everybody. And the, and some people just think, wow, that is just such a cool job. I mean, that, and what they don't realize, if you haven't been in it and around it, and I have been in it, and I've been in positions where I put in a lot of midnight hours of doing things.
Yes.
It impacted, the youth group impacted mine and my husband's time together because we had youth that depended upon us.
Right.
And if they called us, we'd go to their house or we'd have them hang out at our house or just, you know, it's taxing. It's taxing, but yet it's rewarding.
Yes.
Because you're doing God's work. You're doing God's will. But people in church don't realize what goes on with it, the if you will, behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
What is happening, you know.
That's exactly right. And the prayer time that you put in for those kids.
Oh, absolutely.
My ex-husband and I were youth pastors of two large churches, you know, and right out of college. And I'll tell you what, we were involved with those kids, just like what you and Eddie were, too.
Right.
I mean, involved. And so they call you at all hours.
Absolutely.
And
you go to them.
And you go. And I really think that this is what we're seeing here. Elijah wanted to give Elisha an opportunity to just walk away and not go forward in God. Because if that was the path that Elisha took, then that would answer a lot of things. You know, if he was going to just so easily go, yeah, I think I'll stay home today. You know, I just think I won't go on this road trip today. But Elisha was like, oh, no, 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 no. I love in the Message Bible, Elisha says to him, not on your life. I'm going with you. Where you go, I'm going. I'm sticking to you like glue, you know?
Well, you know, he saw the anointing that was on Elijah's life. He had seen things that had happened in the past that God had done. What you just shared earlier. And it's like, you're my pastor.
Right.
Okay. And I don't want to miss a service because the services are so anointed. God anoints you so greatly. And we've seen some pretty magnificent things occur on Sunday mornings and even some things on Wednesday nights.
Right.
That it's like, I don't want to miss because I've seen what's happened before. And it's like, I want to see more.
I don't want to miss
a service and come in the next service and hear what a wonderful service it was because I'm going to say, darn it, I wasn't there. I should have been there.
Exactly.
And I think it's what Elijah was doing,
that
he's wanted to be there because he's seen what had happened.
Absolutely. Totally. Good point. So they trek off on their road trip, and the first place they go, and we are in, I don't know what verse that is because I'm in the Message Bible, but we're right up there at the beginning of it, second or third verse. Elijah says, okay, we're going to Bethel. Now, Bethel is symbolic of when you first understand that God lives on the inside of you. And Bethel means the house of God. That's what it means. So it's interesting on this road trip. The first place they go is to Bethel. And Elisha, of course, has signed on for the whole trip. But immediately they get to the house of God, and they're there, and they're talking and sharing. And you got to picture these two guys, because they were like father-son. Okay, Elijah being the older prophet and was teaching Elisha as they walked and talked. Okay, and as they're walking, they get to the Bethel, the house of God. In our spiritual life, that's that 30-fold realm where we start out and we get saved. We say, Jesus, come into my heart. And then we realize, wait a minute, he's living in my heart. Whoa!
Amen.
Whoa! Cool, dude. This is really cool. You know, to borrow a word that all my grandchildren use all the time. Dude. Anyway, and we realize, wait a minute. He said he would come and live inside me, and wow, he's there. He's really there. And by the way, we have internet up now, and you can email us during the show, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com with your comments or your questions. And so they go to Bethel, and this is kind of the starting off point. And there's a bunch of prophets there at Bethel. These were very important, these three stops. Bethel, they met Elisha, and they said to Elisha, did you know that God is going to take your master away from you today? Isn't that interesting? because God had revealed to them, probably in a word of knowledge, in a prophecy, that on a given day, God was taking Elisha to heaven. Now, I know none of them had figured out how that was going to happen, but they knew he was going away from them that day. Mm-hmm. So they get to Bethel, and the prophets are all around, and maybe they had like a little service, you know, maybe they sang a bunch of songs like we did at the nursing home today, or maybe they just sat around and prayed for each other or just told jokes. Who knows what they did? But the prophets all gathered around. They said, Elisha, do you know that God's going to take your master, Elijah, away today? And Elisha goes, yeah, I know. Be quiet. Don't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Okay? So now.
Pastor, I just saw something.
Go ahead.
If you don't
That's
mind.
What we want you to do. Jump in.
Elijah said to the prophets, just to please be quiet.
Right.
He didn't want to hear it.
Right.
The prophets were of God. So
right.
I'm not saying that they weren't of God, but that can kind of parallel in our lives sometimes when we see something happening, we see something going on Christian-wise or leadership-wise or something, and negativity comes our way.
Right.
Satan starts putting little thoughts in our mind, or actually people come against mm-hmm. you and say, well, you know, you really shouldn't go there. You really should. And the persistence that we have
right.
by saying, no, be quiet. This is what I'm going to do.
You know? Exactly. Oh, if I had a dollar for every time through the years, we're getting ready to celebrate our 10th year as a ministry with Beacon of Hope. But the number of people that have said discouraging things to me or have said, why don't you just quit or whatever, especially after the truck ran through our church a few years back, I got phone calls. Oh, I bet you're quitting now. No.
No.
We'll just have church in a box, you know, which we did, you know, and carried around the back of my truck. Hey, it doesn't matter. We're having church.
It
I don't
worked.
Care. It worked.
It worked.
Yes. And so that's a good point. That's a really good point. And there's times in the ministry we have to say to somebody who's being very negative, no, I don't want to hear that. Stop. No. You know, because sometimes people in their well-meaningness, they want to point out that, well, this isn't happening and that's not happening and I don't see this change happening in the ministry that needs to happen. And it can bring discouragement and negativity, but that's a good point.
Well, I think, well, we all need to surround ourselves with positive people.
Yes, that's a good point, Nate.
I try not to have negative people around me.
Right.
I've lived in such a way that I've had negative people around me because I was maybe negative too, you know,
yeah.
So that's who I hung out with, you know, the negative people.
Birds of a feather.
Flock together, you know. But just be careful who you surround yourself with.
Amen.
And leadership, even in,
yes.
especially in leadership, you
especially.
Have to be extremely careful.
Yes.
Elijah knew it was okay to have Elisha with him.
Yes.
Because he wasn't negative.
Exactly.
In fact, look at the exuberance he had with wanting to
right.
stay right with
Oh, no, I'm
his
going.
Father.
Yeah,
his
he wanted you know? To be right there with him. And that is a great point, you know. Elisha was handpicked by God, and Elijah said, in fact, the day that he was chosen, he was out plowing, and Elijah said, well, you can join me, you know, God's wanting you to, but you don't have to. You know, always giving him the opportunity to not,
well,
you know. That's a good point.
But you know what? God does that.
Yes, he does.
God does that.
You brought that up a minute ago, Deb, about God does offer us the chance to bail out if we want to bail.
And I think the point to be made behind, you know, the fact that when Elisha was chosen, Elijah
yes.
gave him the option to come or go.
Right.
You know, and the same is on this road trip.
Yeah.
I think the biggest point behind that is that we all have choices in our life.
Amen.
We can choose to get up and go to work every morning and make our paycheck and come home.
Right.
We can choose to get up every morning and get on the school bus.
Right.
And go to school and work hard and make good grades. Mm-hmm. Or we can choose to just get by.
Right.
But if you choose to just get by, your life is going to be a lot harder than if you get up and you get
dressed.
It
really is. Yeah.
And you work hard.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of us forget that on a daily basis because
right.
we get tired and we just want to just be.
Yeah.
And sometimes just being is not.
Well, sometimes being is just retreating into TV, video games, whatever. Nothing wrong with those things in balance. But it can be a place where we kind of just veg, you mm-hmm. know. We just, like, don't continue to work on our scriptures or the things that we know we need to get down on the inside of us, etc. We just kind of let it happen, you know, let it happen. And if we go through our day like that, the devil's going to pounce all over you, my friend. He is going to beat your butt. He's going to beat your brains in with all kinds of condemnation and guilt and shame and you name it. He'll just beat you up.
And you never know what opportunities you're going to miss along the way.
Exactly. The blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Nan.
Well, I recently went through a period in my life, and the Lord teaching me a lot of things, and the Lord kind of letting me know certain things that I needed to be doing, as in reading the Word, spending time in prayer, you know, the various other things that He specifically let me know I needed to do. And I didn't do them all.
Right.
And I mean, when I specifically, when you know that you know that you know that you've heard from God.
Right. When you've been instructed.
When you've been instructed, you better do it.
It's a serious thing, isn't it, Jonah?
I was Jonah.
You were
for
Jonah
some time.
For a while. You were going through a period where it was, you were being somewhat defiant. And I think it's interesting that you brought this up, or I would not have brought it up.
It's okay. It's okay.
But you're admitting that you went through a period of time where you were struggling about moving forward in the ministry that God had called you or go backwards into an old way of life.
But the old way of life became so comfortable for me, and that's what I was accustomed to, and it also didn't require anything.
That's your point, Deb. It didn't require anything. And so a lot of times that seems the better route. It doesn't require. What is it, the old Robert Frost poem, I chose the road less traveled? Mm-hmm. Is it Robert Frost?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. But anyway, I chose the road less traveled, you know?
But the thing, when I was in that, the most recent period of it,
And that's been a while now, dear friends, that she's come out of this. She's doing really good. But go ahead.
Thank you. God is good.
Yeah.
I would lay in bed, and I would lay there, and I would think, I know that I need to read the Word. I know I need to pray. And I wouldn't do it. I mean, I would say, God, I'm not going to do that. I mean, so not only would I, like,
that's
just
called
do it,
rebellious.
It is called rebellion. I had problems with defiance and rebellion. I was delivered from, praise God.
Yes, amen.
But I got worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you veg. It's okay to, you know, it's okay to rest. We all need to rest.
Absolutely.
But if you reach a point that your rest is turning into
routine.
Defiance, routine, rebellion, all those type of things.
Depression.
And see, that's what was happening. Depression was hitting me really
because
hard.
Because that's what the devil does. When you may think, man, I need so much rest. I'm so tired, whatever. But when it turns into a matter of depression, I can't get out of bed, then there's something that the devil has started working on you.
Well, there are a couple I can say. This Connie, who, of course, is very much a large part of this ministry.
She's the head of our counseling ministry.
She's a wild woman.
She's great.
She's praised God for her. There was a couple services. She actually sent me a text message because it was service time, and I wasn't there. And we're talking about not too long ago because I was battling, just still battling, you know.
Yeah.
And sent me a text message, where are you?
Yeah.
And I got up and I went because I had encouragement to do so.
Right.
It was not meant in any kind of way to hurt me or harm me or judge me. She loved me and knew that if I was in the house of God and under the anointing that was there.
Wait a minute. Oh, I got my bell is all messed up today. But Bill, help me.
Your bell wasn't working.
No, it wasn't.
How come your bell wasn't working?
I don't know. Give me a drum roll.
Oh, you want a drum roll?
Yes. There you go.
There you go.
Because when we just retreat into the depression and the apathy and the laziness, then we aren't putting ourselves under the anointing. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke in our lives.
Praise God. That's right.
Not the egg yolk. The yolk.
The yolk.
Yes. Woo. Good point. But I got out of there.
Absolutely. I came out of it with encouragement from you because you were involved with my counseling. You and Connie were my counselors. Have been
absolutely.
My counselors for some time, actually, because of my defiance and rebellion.
She's being so honest
today.
Well,
you know, the thing of it is, and what this church is about, and what this program is about, is being honest. And if we can't be, just get down and get honest.
I agree with you, Nan.
Then just shut the door.
Absolutely.
You know, because people need to see in us what is going on.
Amen.
It's okay for me to say, I had problems with this or that. I could give a long list of things that were issues for me. Depression was one of them.
Right.
Suicide was one of them.
Right.
That'd be great. Satan would really love for me to commit suicide. Then I can't ever sit under the anointing again.
Right.
You know?
That'll do it.
That'll take care of it.
That'll take care of it.
Yeah. But getting to church.
Right.
The anointing was there.
The anointing of God. And see, that just is a great segue into Elijah and Elisha, because Elisha had seen enough in Elijah's life. The fire that came down from heaven, all the miracles, 16 major miracles in Elijah's life, and Elisha had seen God answer Elijah's prayers. Mm-hmm. Elisha had seen all of this mighty move of God, and Elisha says, "Whoa, honey, I know you got the anointing of God on you, and where you go, I'm going. And I'm not going to sit around here and act like it's not important to me by staying home today when there's a road trip. We're going on the road trip.
I like to hang around where the anointing is.
Ooh.
God is just so good. I'm so excited. I'm not even going to apologize for my excitement.
Don't apologize for that.
It's so neat to see the anointing of God. It's so neat to see people's lives change. I've seen my own life change as a result of counseling. I've seen it. You say, and you can feel free to say anything you want to about any of that at any time. I trust you. And it's okay.
I appreciate that, because what you're really saying is it's the anointing of God. Because there have been many times in a counseling session that we start a session, we have no clue where it's going. We don't plan those.
We have no clue
where they're going. We take no notes. We have no idea. And those of you in Indiana that were part of my church at Cornerstone and have been in the counseling ministry with me understand that it's totally led by the Holy Spirit. And it is a beacon of hope, too. But it's the anointing that comes and breaks the yoke in people's lives. And that is what happened to Elisha.
Right.
Elisha had to give up his family, his huge ranch, all his land, everything, turn his back, and walk forward into the ministry. And for most of us, God does not call us to leave our families.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So anyway, though, here we are. So here's Elisha. Now they've gone to Bethel. That's that 34-fold realm where we begin to understand that Jesus is our bread. He lives on the inside of us, and we are the house of God.
Yes.
And we eat him. We are the house. So that is that Bethel realm. And so now Elijah says, "Elisha, why don't you stay right here? Because I'm going on down the road." And Elisha says, "You got to be kidding. No way." Elijah gives him an opportunity again, and I am not sure what verse that is for. Elijah says to Elisha, "Stay here. God has sent me on an errand to Jericho." Now, Jericho, when you think of Jericho, that's the place where the walls came tumbling down, right? Joshua and the people walked around Jericho 7 times, and what happened is they shouted the walls of Jericho down. Those walls, by the way, were about 60 feet wide, which is amazing. They were huge walls, and the shouting and praising is what brought those walls down. So Jericho's the place of victory. It's the place of, the word Jericho actually means a place of fragrance and of palm trees. Well, we live in the land of palm trees down here, don't we?
Yes, we live
in the land of palm trees, baby, and I love palm trees. They are absolutely gorgeous. They're gorgeous.
We live in the land of the free, home of the brave.
And that also is true. Yes, we live in the land of palm trees and fragrance, beautiful, beautiful flowers that smell great and all of that, almost year-round around here. But Jericho means the place of victory, place of fragrance, the place of palm trees. And that's what the victory is all about. In fact, when Jesus was going into the triumphal entry into Jerusalem,
They laid palm branches down for him to walk on.
And it means victory. So right there, by that very act, it was symbolic of the victory of Jesus, which was, and the devil was under their feet, you know?
Praise God.
Isn't that
That's what we want.
Ooh, yeah.
That's what we have.
Exactly. So Elisha says, "No, no, 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 no. I am going with you to Jericho." Jericho is that place where it's that 60-fold realm in God where we say, "God, give me all you have for me." It's that baptism of the Holy Spirit time where we say, "God, I got to have you. I want all you have. Fill me up. Fill me up with you." And it's that place of victory, that place where we are just looking and saying, "Whoa, God, wow. I'm going to grab a hold of that. I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to believe that you can work in that area in my life, and I'm going to claim victory in it. I am going to claim my healing in the name of
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we're going through a cancer situation with one of our members again right now, mm-hmm. and we have seen this particular woman healed 2 years ago of lymphoma. Now, this cancer that she's dealing with right now is not too big for God. And we are already claiming total victory in her life.
Yes,
we are believing it and claiming it. We've seen so many people healed of cancer at Beacon of Hope and in my church in Indiana at Cornerstone. Wow. So you know what we have to do? We just got to believe. We got to believe that God has a place of victory for each of us. And of course, this isn't planned, but the next song up that Connie has for today is I Have to Believe by Rita Spring. And he can. Praise God. I have to believe whatever it is going on in your life, God wants to move the mountains. He wants to do it.
Amen.
Yes. We just got an email from a young lady that is having a hard time finding a church. She lives in another state. And we're going to start praying for you and believing that God will lead you to the exact right church, because you do need to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And bring up your children in the Word, and in a church that teaches the Word and is excited about that. And then our good buddy RC from Texas just emailed us. We're glad to know that you're watching today, RC. We can't see you, but you can see
Hi,
us.
RC. Hi, RC.
So there's a big old wave out to all of you and of our dear ones.
And here's a wave out to my grandkids that are watching.
There you go, Deb's grandkids.
Here's
all
a
right.
wave to Deb's grandkids too, but you don't know me.
Yes.
Hi, Bubba.
Oh, praise God. I'm believing someday my grandkids will be watching, so that would be cool. But anyway, you know, we each need a place of a home church, you know, where we can really share, you know, like we were talking. We are excited to get to come to church. I mean, it's
yes.
an exciting
it
place
is
to
exciting.
Be. And the anointing in the last several months has just been monumentally growing and increasing. Mm-hmm. Every service, mighty things are happening. Lives are being changed. There was a lot of sniffling and crying this morning there at
yes.
the end. God was really, really moving in lives today.
I was one of those people.
You were one of those? Praise
mm-hmm.
God. God is moving. We are talking today about Elisha and Elijah. We're in 2 Kings 2. And there is this road trip that they took the last day that Elijah was on this earth. And they go first to Bethel, which is the 30-fold realm, symbolic of when we begin to understand that we are the house of God. God lives on the inside of us. That's that Bethel realm. And they went there, and Elijah, the older guy, says to Elisha, why don't you just stay here and get comfortable? You know, you don't have to go on. And, you know, a lot of well-meaning people say that to us. Mm-hmm. You don't have to grow in God. You don't have to go to church, mm-hmm. for heaven's sake. I've heard people say to me, you know, people don't have to go to church to love God. You're right. You don't have to go to church to love God. You don't have to go to church to get saved.
That's right.
You don't have to go to church, but you go because you want to go and you want to be under that anointing you're talking
right.
about, Nan. You want to see what God's
yes.
going to do.
Amen.
Because he challenges us. In an anointed
yes.
service, God challenges us with his word. And with the things he says to us, and he says, wait a minute, come on, I want you to go deeper with me. Let's go on further down the road. And that's what Elijah, who's a type of Jesus in 2 Kings 2, he's saying to Elisha, you can stay behind here if you want. God always gives us permission. You made that point earlier, Deb, and that's a good point. God's not going to make you. He will mm-hmm. not cross your will.
No, he's not. I mean, he's going to wait patiently. I mean, look how long he waited for me. I mean, you know, he's just going to wait there patiently, and he's going to keep nudging you.
Yes.
And, you know, he'll just nudge, say, you know, hey, I'm here.
Right.
You know, don't forget I'm here.
Yeah.
But he's not going to push you. And even once you answer that call.
Right.
And, you know, with Elisha, you know, Elisha said, okay, fine, I'll go with you, Elijah. Let's see what this is all about.
Right.
You know, but nobody forced him.
Right.
And the learning process that he went through was not forced.
Right.
It was just part of the daily life
right.
that he chose to live.
You know, that's a huge point, because actually Elisha was the servant
mm-hmm.
of Elijah. And the main thing about Elisha's life that we're going to learn more on Wednesday night is his faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Elisha would not give up. It didn't matter. Nope. I'm sorry. You say I can stay behind here and not go on this road trip today. I'm sorry. I'm going. Where you go, I'm going. You know, I'm sticking to you like glue. I am going to be your shadow. I'm going to learn everything there is to learn about the anointing from you, Elijah, before God takes you to heaven.
And woe that we could all have that determination in our lives.
Yes.
You know,
well, praise God. It's time to do it. It's time to dig.
Amen.
You know, put a stake in the ground.
Right.
You hear me say that all
right.
the time. Put a stake in the ground and say, okay, God, I'm going where you would have me go. But the devil doesn't want you to grow in God. The devil is determined to stop you in your tracks and keep you stagnant right where you are. And like, Nan, the huge way the devil fought you a few months back,
right.
I mean, really trying to get you to commit suicide
right.
at one point,
right.
really just
several times trying to get me to commit suicide.
Right.
We're not talking about one little stint. I mean, we're talking about
It was huge.
Attack and then
attack.
Back off and attack and then back
right.
off and attack. And
it was huge.
It was huge.
The battle for your soul. You know, and a lot of our listeners out there may be going through a similar battle for their soul, where the devil is trying to say, it's not important for you to get in the Word. It's not mm-hmm. important for you to pray. It's not important for you to go on to a place of victory, right. Jericho, in your life. Why don't you just stay back here at Gilgal, at the beginning, where you got saved? You don't need to grow. That's what the devil says to us. I know I'm talking very fast, but I have a whole lot to say. And no, I haven't had any caffeine, not at all. So, seriously, I really haven't.
You haven't? Okay.
I haven't. I mean, it's just, I'm pumped with what God is trying to get across today on this show. Okay, this is extremely important stuff.
It is. It is.
I really feel it's important that people understand. You know, earlier you said this is the 30-fold. I just think it's really important that people understand that. You know, there are different levels of your faith.
Absolutely.
There are different levels of your walk
right.
with God.
Yeah.
Just like there are different levels of grades in school.
Right.
You know? And, you know, you start out, you learn your ABCs, you learn how to read, you learn how to write, you learn basic math. You know, those are the basics.
And if you quit there in first grade or second grade.
And you can quit there.
You can.
You know what I mean? You can.
Yeah,
I mean, let's
sure.
face it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I have several friends that, you know, are lucky if they have an eighth grade education.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason, you know, you can quit once you learn the basics.
Right.
And the basics, as far as that is concerned, where God is, you know, okay, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. You know, Jesus, come in my life. Jesus, you know, live in my heart. And, you know, you know what the Bible is.
Right.
You know how to go to the Bible and find things when you want to.
Right.
You know, but and you may go to church every Sunday, but you just sit there and you sing the songs and you say some churches have things that they, you know, say every Sunday, you know.
Right.
And it's just kind of, oh, okay, I'm going to say it because everybody else is saying it.
Right.
But it doesn't mean anything to
right.
you. Right. That's okay. If that's what you want to do.
Right.
That's good.
But there's so much more.
And you can get to heaven that way.
You can, but there's so much
but
more.
But there's so much more if you just keep on keeping on.
Yes.
And that's what Elisha was doing.
Right.
You know, in my Bible it says, you know, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you.
Right.
Isn't that interesting that
yes.
Elisha said that to Elijah?
Yeah.
When God says that to us. Every single day.
He right. certainly does. Every single day. Go ahead, Nan.
I want to say,
that was
you know,
good stuff.
I don't know whether I'm in 60, 100, in between. I haven't discussed it with
all
you
right.
yet to see if we can determine. But I have something. I just want to share what happened briefly. What happened, I won't go into details, but happened to me this week on my 50th birthday.
Right.
It was one of the most, and I shared it with you. It was the greatest encounter I have ever had with God my entire life occurred on my 50th
How
birthday.
Cool
it was exciting.
Is that? Oh.
And it came.
There we go.
Hey. All right. Thanks, Brother Bill.
Yeah.
But it came through something that happened that broke my heart.
Okay.
And it was, I didn't think it
you
was
don't
fair.
Need to go
no,
into
I'm
the
not
details.
Going to. I'm not going to. No,
yeah.
I mean, thank you, though. But it was just painful.
Yeah.
And all I wanted to do was go spend time with God. It just hit me. I just wanted to go spend time with God. And I started crying. And I wasn't crying over the situation. I was crying because of God.
Yes.
I had to leave my office, go to another office because I was crying. I didn't want them to, I don't mind people seeing me crying at church, but at work, well, you know, they wonder what's wrong with you.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
But I moved up to some sort of new level.
Yes.
And
because
again,
you felt the switch on the inside of you.
It was, yes.
And you flipped the switch, and the switch said, I just want
more time with God. I want to spend time with God. I want to spend my time with God. It was so cool. And
yes.
I noticed in this morning's service, we need to go to church because we're under the anointing there, and we can feel the anointing, and things happen. I was freer. To praise and I praise God. I was really free.
I was able to
and that's what I used to be able to do.
Yeah.
But it was like I've become shy because coming back to God wasn't going to do that. Praise God. There was reason to shout.
Yes.
There was reason
Great
to shout.
Music.
God
Ooh.
Was there. The praise
Man.
Group was doing a fantastic job. The anointing was
oh,
there.
Yes.
You know, if you had a need, it was met this morning.
Yes.
If you wanted it to be met.
That's exactly
right. But I
mean,
but since what happened to me this week and the encounter that I had with God
Ooh.
Has just, it's freed me, it's released me, it's done something to me that I was really able to really
praise God.
God.
Did you? Did you two hear me say this morning that what my prayer for the people, my sheep at Beacon of Hope has been lately, and our radio audience too, is that every single one have a fresh encounter with Jesus.
You said that.
Because when you have a fresh encounter and you realize what his plan is for you, what he's doing in your life, wow, it changes you forever. It's that crossing the line, you know, into a new place. And it's like Elijah and Elisha going from Bethel, the place they just understand, okay, God lives in me. That's the 30-fold realm. Going on to Jericho where you learn that, wait a minute, there's victory here. You know, I can have victory, you know? I can,
right.
You know, it reminded me of the old chorus because we saw the movie, The Help, and which is a great movie, by the way, listening audience. But at one point in this little black church, they're singing that old one, victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. That's what the Jericho level is, the 60-fold realm, where we begin to realize, hey, I can have victories during the day. Mm-hmm. It's not just when I'm at church. It's during the day, during the week, I can walk in a place of victory. And that's what it's all about. So we get to this point, and Elijah says to Elisha, I'm going to get it right here in a minute. Well, I'm going on, but you can stay here. Does that sound familiar? And by the way, at each location, the school of the prophets would meet them and say to Elisha, by the way, do you know your master's leaving today? And every time, this is repeated all through 2 Kings chapter 2, every time Elisha says, yeah, I know, just be quiet. Don't want to talk about it. You know, I don't want him to go, but, you know. And so, oh, wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall? But there was no wall. They were walking out in sandy, dirty, you know, trails, but, you know, roads. But wouldn't you have loved to listen to the conversation, the final conversation between the mentor and the mentee?
Mm.
Can you imagine what that was like?
It's powerful.
And Elijah is the type of Jesus, and we are the type of Elisha, which is the ministries that result from that encounter with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Oh, my, I could preach right here. I'm not kidding you.
Go ahead. It's okay.
Whoa. It's the ministries that result from the encounter with the living God. And that is what has happened. Elisha was forever marked by that road trip, that day, and that discussion. He was forever changed by that huge event. Oh, my. Oh, my. We are so glad you're listening today to Living the Good Life. We're going to pick this up on the other side of the hour. And we're also going to talk about our prayer ministry and some other things. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and want to have a good time at the beach tomorrow, come to Dunedin Causeway, which is on Curlew. It's at the end right before you get to Honeymoon. We will have our Beacon of Hope tent up with a nice banner on it. You can't miss us. And we're going to have kayaks, and we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a lot of sandwiches and goodies and usually a whole lot of sugar.
Well, you need sugar at the beach.
Yeah, you need sugar at the beach. Cold drinks. And we welcome you if you'd like to come and get acquainted with us. We are also doing a baptismal tomorrow. If anybody wants to be baptized again, or for the first time, tomorrow, Dunedin Causeway, between 9 and 1, we are baptizing around 11 or 11:30. Also, there's several. Last time, July 4th, we had 13 baptized.
13.
It was really cool.
It was cool.
So we have four signed up right now, but there will be more by tomorrow, I'm sure.
Do you baptize in high tide or low tide?
Whichever.
Any tide.
Any tide.
Any tide.
It's any tide baptism.
Excellent.
Excellent. It's an excellent thing. That's tomorrow morning, Labor Day. This is the day before Labor Day of 2011. So we are so glad you've joined us on Living the Good Life. And here we go, station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
And we welcome Little Rock, Arkansas, and some of those other areas and all the different radio stations that we are live on your station right now. We're also on the web at tantalk1340.com, and that's worldwide, and that's real cool. And to make it even cooler, our engineer Bill About a year ago, started recording our shows, every one of them.
That's right.
And that's right. And transferring them to me. And thank you, Bill, for that. And the words of wisdom there. And we get them on our beaconofhopeministries.com website by the next day, usually after the show. So if you go to our website, there's enough shows there to keep you busy for a real long time. They are live just the way they came out of our mouths in the studio.
Bloopers included.
Bloopers included. And we've got a year and a half or more of shows, probably more than that, on our website now. We have a big website. So it is Beacon of Hope Ministries. That's an IES on the end of it, .com. Deb, tell us about the prayer ministry, how they can access it, and why they would want to.
The prayer ministry that we have can be accessed at by emailing prayers, that's P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at beaconofhopeministries.com. If you have a prayer request, if you have a praise report, send it to us at that email address, and it will go to the head, the leaders of the prayer team. There are four of us that get the emails, and one of the four will grab that email and forward it on to the members of our prayer team. And I think the neatest thing that we do with that is we don't just, we don't just forward on your prayer request. We forward on your prayer request, and we include a prayer for that request along with the email.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, because I don't know how many times I've been out talking to somebody, oh, I'll pray for you, and things happen and you forget, you know.
Right.
Well, when that prayer comes in, that request comes in, you read that request, you read that prayer, boom, you've prayed for them, and the chain has started.
Amen.
And if you'd like to become a member of our prayer team.
Yes.
And there are no strings attached to that. All the, if you're a member of our prayer
team. You don't have to pay money.
You don't have to pay money.
But you may want to.
You don't have to do anything but open an email in your email box every time it comes in and read that prayer request or that praise report and read that prayer. And if you want to add that request to your own personal prayer list, you can do that as well.
Exactly.
We have members all over the United States that
yes.
are part of our prayer team, and we'd love to have more. We'd love to, there are some members with other churches that link up with
yes.
their prayer team.
Right, exactly.
So,
linking to a lot of prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really
just kinda
cool.
goes out.
And join us. We want you to be a part of that. Yeah.
And it's just it's a real blessing to be a part of that ministry.
It really is. Wow. God's doing a whole lot of good things at Beacon of Hope.
Yes, he is.
This Friday night, we are going to have beach worship. We were going to do it last Friday night, and the weather was kind of iffy. So we are having it this Friday night at Indian Rocks Beach, which is, if you're in the Clearwater area, is at the end of Almerton. We're on Almerton. It's at the end. Indian Rocks Beach, get to the end, which is right on the water. Turn left, and the second street on the right, which is Central, is where we're going to be, right there on the beach with our Beacon of Hope tent and banner. And we're going to have a worship time with guitars. Our own Aaron Boone, who just sings and plays so well. And our keyboard, Nathan, he also plays guitar. We're going to have some guitars. We're going to sing. And we are going to watch the sun go down. And that's this Friday night, whatever date that is, September 8th, this Friday night, on Indian Rocks Beach, and you can join us. So God bless you. We're glad that you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister with my buddies here, Deb and Nan. First time today, Nan, for you to be on the radio. You've been in here kind of
yes,
learning
ma'am.
As an apprentice for a while.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're doing a great job.
Thank
so
you,
I'm
Pastor.
Glad you're here. All right, listen to this great song. I love this by C.C. Winans. His Strength is Perfect.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can do for me. No great success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me know his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll
praise God. His strength is perfect. He's going to carry us when we can't carry on. But, Bill, we may do that at the end again. You know what? I just love that song. One of my favorite ones. Because in the ministry, guys, we get tired. We get weak. We get times where we think we don't know how we're going to make it through this particular set of circumstances. And we don't know how God is going to provide for our needs, maybe financially or physically. Maybe we're weak physically. And so we come to a place where we realize it's just him. It's got to be him. You know, it's all about him. We're in 2 Kings 2 today, and we're talking about the road trip that Elijah and Elisha took. And we're here, and we're seeing that after they went to Bethel, they went to Jericho. The last stop on the road trip was the River Jordan. What happened at the River Jordan? Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. It was the River Jordan that had to be crossed so that the children of Israel could go into Canaan, into the promised land. And we know in the book of Joshua that God parted the waters at the River Jordan so that they could do this. So now we get, and the third place for the road trip is to go to Jordan. Jordan always signifies death. Because that's why Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. Because water baptism, like we're going to do tomorrow at the Causeway here in Dunedin, water baptism is an outward sign of an inward change in people. Okay? It's symbolic of the old man going down in the water, the old ways of thinking, the old attitudes, the old, I don't care, to suddenly coming up and realizing, I do care, you know? And I do want to be all God wants me to be. Water baptism, let me back up, is simply symbolic of what God does on the inside of us.
Right.
From death to life. So Jesus went, when he actually was killed, crucified on the cross, they put him in a tomb, and he was there 3 days and three nights. His body was, he really wasn't, he was out running around doing some stuff, which that's another show. But anyway, at the end of that time, he went from death to life and became the risen Lord, and that's what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday every year. That is symbolic of what God does in us when we say, okay, Jesus, take my life, take my sin, forgive me, Lord, for everything I've ever said or done that was not pleasing to you. Please, God, forgive me. I want a new life in you. Raise me up. And suddenly, supernaturally, you don't see Jesus come flying into your chest.
No.
Right?
No, no.
The little plastic Jesus I talk about a lot? You never see that coming down out of heaven and just going,
that would hurt.
And yeah, boring a hole like a pacemaker into your chest. No, that's not how it happens. It happens spiritually.
Spiritually.
Supernaturally. It happens by faith. You say, Jesus, come into my heart. Live on the inside of me and change me. That's dying to our old way of living. And the last place on the road trip was the River Jordan. And it symbolizes that death that we have to do. And we have to do it on a daily basis.
Right.
We have to do it. Comment.
I have to die myself daily.
Yes.
Because,
how?
I get up,
give us an example.
Okay. I know. I was starting. I was thinking. Well, a dedication to they're going to doing the things I know that I'm supposed to be doing.
Right. Like?
Reading the Bible, praying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perhaps even calling someone that God lays on your heart. I've had that happen where Lord's laid someone on my heart, but I may not really want to call that person. Nanette gets in the way of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Nanette says, I'm just not going to do that because I don't want to
encourage
that person. I don't want to do that. But if I want to be in his will, if I want to feel at peace,
yes,
I will go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, for me, sometimes getting into the Word is an area that I need to improve on.
I think all of us have to spend more time. All of us have to spend more time in the Word. I don't care if you spend 4 hours now, you got to spend more. And in prayer and in really really seeking the mind of the Lord because he wants to tell us so much. And we miss out on all these blessings and things he wants to tell us. Go ahead. I interrupted
you. No, that's okay. I was just thinking with that, what you just said, the bread of life. The word is the bread of life.
Amen.
And it's like, I eat every day.
Right.
I eat several times every day.
Right.
Sometimes I eat too many times, but you know, no, I'm joking. But you know, you can tell. No. But just as we need to sustain our body.
Right.
If we don't eat, if I don't eat, I get weak.
Right.
You know, I went through a little period here recently that I was very ill.
Right.
And I wasn't eating.
Right.
I had to force myself to eat just to sustain life so that I wouldn't get so weak. But if we don't eat, we get weak. And that's the same way I believe and I know that it is
so
with the
true.
Christian life and the spiritual life.
Yes.
If I don't eat the Word of God, spend time with Him, I get weak. And I can become more susceptible, if I said that correctly, to Satan's attacks.
Absolutely.
Because I am not reading and I am not praying as I should be.
Therefore, one of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 15:16. And it says this, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Mm. And they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." And I love those words.
And you know, Jeremiah really did do that.
And he really did do that.
He really did take some papyrus or whatever it was that God's word was written on.
Yeah.
And he sat in front of a group of people and he actually ate it. And they thought he was nuts. But
he was a prophet and he was always doing picture lessons.
But you know, all the prophets did that.
Yeah, they did.
So, you know, I mean, he actually did eat the word of God.
Right.
But the point that he was trying to make to them is that, you know, I'm ingesting this in me.
Yes.
So that when I talk to you, I've just eaten God's word.
Right.
So now you're going to know that what's coming out of my mouth is what I just ate.
And really, that happens when we get into our Bibles and we begin to get it down on the inside of us and we eat that. We eat that concept. We take that concept and we say, okay, that's for me. That is a word that I need to get down on the inside of me. Who wants to comment?
Well, along that same lines, I was just thinking, sometimes I don't want to get in the Word because I'm afraid what it's going to say to me. Because the Word... The word
Baby,
of the Lord is wonderful.
Strong.
Is wonderful, and it's what we've been talking about it, and it comforts us and it encourages us. It corrects me sometimes.
Absolutely,
and
it does.
I don't like to be corrected sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes that's why I don't pray. You know, I hear from God. We all hear from God. I've never heard His voice. Okay, I'm not.
But you hear from
He puts thoughts in your mind, in your spirit, and that's and through the Word. That's how we hear from the Lord.
Exactly.
And I just totally lost my train of thought.
Sometimes we don't want to get in the Word because He corrects us.
Because He corrects us.
Yes.
But sometimes I don't want to pray because I know what He's going to say to me. Because someone I was supposed to do something for, didn't want to do it for them. Well, then I don't want to go in prayer time the next day because
He's
going to tell me the same thing and He's going to bring it up to me. You know,
yes.
And I don't, you know, but yet... He corrects us because He loves us.
Ooh,
I mean, that is so awesome. I mean, His love for us is so great that He wants us to do okay. He wants us to be okay. He
Amen.
Wants us to move forward in Him and grow in Him and not fall prey
exactly
to the lie,
right.
to the tricks that Satan brings against us.
Totally. That's it. You have a comment to that, Deb?
Well, I was just, once again, thinking about the, you know, the analogy of the military way of thinking. You know, you talk about how we ingest the word and it becomes a part of us.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing is going into the military. And like you said, you go to the Jordan River and it's a dying and rebirth process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing with going to the military. You go into boot camp and the first week and a half, 2 weeks of boot camp, they're beating the snot out of you to get your civilian life and thinking out of you. And turn you into a military person with military thinking.
Right.
You know, so anybody who's been in the military, you have a tendency to yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, a lot more than most people.
Right.
Especially if you see somebody that you think even possibly could have been a higher ranking officer at one point in their lives. But the other thing that you do, you have all these cute little, you know, acronyms for things. And my point is... You get that with God.
Right.
You get that with God. And this reminds me of something that I heard on the radio the other day. I was listening to Moody Bible Institute, and I heard somebody refer to something that they do in 12-step groups, which I had never heard this phrase before, and I had been in a 12-step group, the military term AWOL.
Oh, okay.
And they were talking about people who were working their 12 steps actually go to 12-step study groups to work their 12 steps.
Right.
And they call them AWOL groups. And, you know, it's not absent without leave. It's a way of life.
Oh, that's good.
And, you know,
a way of life.
That's what...
Yeah.
That's what being a Christian is.
Amen.
And walking the walk.
Yes.
And talking the talk.
Yes.
It's a way of life.
It's a way of life.
It totally changes who you are,
mm-hmm.
what you're thinking, what you're not thinking, you know, and I just, it's just a total change in people that you've known all your life.
Right.
They're not going to get it.
Right.
You know, they're not going to understand it. They're going to think, what is wrong with you? You know? But it's just, you have to, it's just what you do.
That's a really good point. Don't you think that Elisha had an opportunity here to say, why are we going to the Jordan River? Why did we go to Bethel? Why did we go to Jericho? But you know, Elisha was more in tune. He was in tune with what mm-hmm. was going on. He knew mm-hmm. that the process that they were going through that day. He knew that thousands of years from that, then people would be teaching this whole concept. I mean, he knew the plan of God and that Elijah was going to be taken up to heaven that day.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that. He just walked through it and taught us, as a true prophet does, a picture of our Christian life.
Right.
And where we're going. So we get to the Jordan River, which is symbolic of that hundredfold realm, when we are saying, God, it's all you. I am really, really surrendering my will to you. God, I want everything you want for me. Now, that doesn't mean you stop living, that you never go to a movie, you never watch a baseball game. Praise God, I watch them all the time. So, you know.
Your DVR is full.
Yeah, I've got so many games for the winter already stored up now, you know, for me, because I have to have my games, yeah. My baseball games, you know. But, you know, God does not take us out of this earthly realm. He just calls us to spend more time mm-hmm. in that spiritual realm
right.
with him, preparing us for the future that we're all going to have in him. I think it's really cool. I think it's cool that he allows me to go hang out on the beach where I love, like tomorrow, and he allows me to watch my baseball games and all of that, football season's upon us, all of that. Those are fun things, and they are relaxing times. But they don't take the place of time with him, because time with him is the coolest.
Oh, can I share?
Yes, you may.
That just reminded me of something.
You know,
you've been reaching and you've been teaching and you've been encouraging us at church when we attend church and are under the anointing there.
Yes.
You're under the anointing to listen to God.
Yes.
That's one thing you've been saying. Just listen to God. Just stop. Take time. Listen to God.
Amen, man.
So I started doing that. And it's really neat what he's been showing me.
He's been talking to me
a lot. And,
cool
you know,
beans.
I sat there with a notepad. And
yes.
Literally, I sat
yes.
there with a notepad.
Right.
And take notes. Because, you see, God's speaking. And he's flowing just as he's at that time. I'm not going to remember all that.
No.
And if you and I go out right now and have lunch or dinner and you talk to me, I'm not going to remember all what you say to me.
Exactly.
I cannot do that. Some people have photographic memory. I do not.
Right.
I have to write things down.
Me too. I'm just like
so
you.
So I'll sit there with the notepad and I just would write.
Right.
And I would just write. And then I'm like, okay, well, I got to turn around and retype it. So then I sit down with my little netbook and, you know, it's like, and there's literally were times where the Lord would just say, okay, just stop. And I was doing something and coming in from work and need to do this and need to do that. And he says, stop and listen to me.
Exactly.
And I said, yes, sir. I'm finally getting better. That defiancy I used to have that you and Connie had to deal with in counseling.
Right.
Praise God, it's gone.
Yes, praise God.
But you know, just to sit there and just stop and listen.
Yes.
And
yes.
And he it's just, it's so awesomely cool because he's teaching
it is
me
awesomely
so
cool.
much.
Mm, it's awesomely cool.
Awesomely
and
cool.
And through it all, Connie, great song by Selah. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong.
me know I was his own. And though it was through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. So I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. If I never had a problem, wouldn't know that he could solve them. Wouldn't know what faith in his word could do. That's the reason I say that through it all.
Favorite song.
Amen.
Cool. And he had Nathan play it on the piano and sing it to him right before he passed away a few weeks before. It's his favorite song, with tears running down his face. My dad, who gave his heart and his life to the Lord and served him all those years as a pastor, evangelist, all of it, missionary, that was his song. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Mm-mm. And, you know, you got to wonder if this song, which I don't know if Andre Crouch wrote this song. I think he did, but
yeah,
I'm not positive. Okay. You know, he didn't live back at that time where Elijah, but don't you think that Elijah probably Elijah probably would have been walking that last day on this earth singing through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus.
Yes.
Learn to trust in God.
Yes.
Learn to trust in God. That's what it's all about. And so there they are, Elijah and Elisha, on their road trip, and they come to the Jordan River. And what's got to happen at the Jordan River? I'm in verse, I don't know where I am, because I can't see it. I wrote on the top of it. I think verse 9. When they reached the other side, wait a minute, let's back up. The prophets are there at the Jordan River again, ready to say, oh, wait a minute, don't you know? Elijah took his cloak. I guess I'm in verse 8.
Yes, you're in 8.
He rolled it up and hit the water with it. Why? Because the water was so full in the river that they couldn't walk across.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The river divided and the two men walked through on dry land. On dry land. That's that miracle God does a lot. Red Sea, the Jordan River for Joshua. Here we are. We're doing it again. Jordan River. And so they go on dry land, and when they reach the other side, there is, by the way, a time when you will reach the other side of that time of just separation unto him. You do reach a place, and it's when God takes you to heaven, where you're no longer learning. Instead, you're just rejoicing. And so when they reach the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Ask anything. And I ran out of time this morning teaching about this. But Jesus is, remember, Elijah is a type of Jesus. And Jesus says to us, what can I do for you? Ask anything. Ask me anything. What do you need done? That's what Jesus says. And so Elisha says in the Message Bible, I want your life repeated in my life. I want to be a holy man just like you. And what translation do you have there?
The New Living Translation.
Okay, what does it say there?
And Elisha replied, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor.
Now, you wanted a double portion mm-hmm. of that anointing. The double portion was reserved in Israel for the firstborn of that family. It was their birthright. It was what they got when they were the oldest. They got a double portion of everything. And Elisha was the apprentice of Elijah. And he said, I want double what you have. Now, you know what? God loves it when we make bold requests. When we go to him and he goes, God, I want you to increase my anointing, the anointing. I've been doing that a lot lately. Can you guys see that it's working?
Yeah, it's working.
Because I have been going to him on a daily basis and I have been saying, God, I want more of your anointing on my life. I want more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing through me on a consistent basis. God, if it means I don't go anywhere, which is really what it means, on Saturday night, rarely do I go anywhere. I don't. It's rare. If I may go out to dinner for a few minutes and then leave and get home, and I spend the rest of probably 10, 12 hours before I preach, just praying, believing God, taking a nap, sleeping a little bit. But I mean, I'm in that mode, you know, and I'm in that mode a lot during the week. But having a full-time job in real estate, I also have times where I just have to put on my realtor hat, you know, and shirt and go list a house. But I mean, God is just really speaking to me that it's okay for me to ask for a greater anointing.
See, now we know why we're getting Pastor Marsha on speed.
Yeah, and I thought you were giving it to her.
No.
No, okay.
It's God.
It's God. God's giving it to her. Good point, Deb.
You
appreciate
know what?
It.
God's her dealer.
God's her dealer.
It's true.
But
it's
it is
so true.
We've been getting Pastor Marsha on speed.
Have you noticed that?
Especially since you came back from vacation.
Yes. Oh, my.
Vacation charged you.
It does. I mean, Connie warned you guys.
Yes,
don't let her go to Indiana.
That's what she said.
Because, you know, God is doing so many mighty things, and we have got to grasp.
Amen.
And seize the moment.
Amen.
And get into the flow
That's
of the
right.
anointing. We got to get there. We got to get there. You, listeners out there, the time's already, there's been enough time wasted in your life and in my life of us not being in that place, that center of his will, in that place of anointing. Oh my. Elijah said to Elisha, ask anything. Well, my gosh, dear people, we can ask anything. You need a healing for your body? Ask God for it. You need finances? Ask God for it. You need to come out of depression? Ask God to
Amen.
Lift you out of depression.
Yes, he'll do it.
You need to have a renewed desire for God? Ask anything. Comments.
When you ask.
Yes.
You're not always going to get what you ask for.
Well, you're going to get it in a different way sometimes, but he is going to answer your prayer.
He'll answer your prayer.
Yeah. Sometimes you know, not in the way we think he should.
Or not in the way we...
Or the time.
Or in the way we want him to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's very important to remember. But, you know, at the same time, we have to go back to this. You know, Elisha did not just ask of this from Elijah,
right.
you know, and then stand there and twiddle his thumbs. He knew if he got what he asked for... His life was going to be busy and full.
Right.
Because he knew he'd been with Elijah forever.
Right.
You know, so, you know, when you ask for these things, you need to look at the bigger picture and realize what you're asking for. Because, you know, if God answers that prayer, you've got to do the footwork that goes along with it.
Absolutely. You
cannot
do the footwork.
You cannot sit back on the couch
yes.
with
yes.
a bag of Fritos mm-hmm. and some bean dip.
Right.
You know,
you've got to move forward
and
start seeking the Lord with all your heart and seeking for that greater anointing, which is what Elisha asked for. I want a double portion of your anointing. Go ahead.
That's, I think that when we ask, well, what I do is when I ask God for things, I also incorporate and begin incorporating that praising him in advance
Amen.
For what he's going to give
yes,
me.
Exactly. Yes, yes, yes.
And, you know, And it's kind of cool. I just thought it's kind of cool. You know, the Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people.
Right.
So here you've asked him for something, and then you're praising him for it, and he's inhabiting the praise. I mean, I think it maybe even speed up the process of getting, you know, what you're asking
totally.
For.
Totally,
you know,
it does.
If he gives it to you the way that you're asking, we've discussed that doesn't necessarily always occur. But
when you start praising him and thanking him for the answer before you see it, huge, huge way to get where you're going. So Elisha is told by Elijah, that's what you want? Elijah says, that's a hard one. What verse is that? 10?
Yes.
But if you're watching, when I'm taken from you, you'll get what you've asked for, but only if you're watching. Read verse 10 in your translation.
You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah replied. If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't.
Let's talk about that as a metaphor. Elijah is a metaphor for Jesus. Elisha is us, the overcomer, the ministries that come from the overcomer. So we say, I want more of you. And Elijah, Jesus says, you got to be looking at me. Here's looking at you, honey. Look right here. Look right here.
Well, you know, I find it really interesting because when you first said, you know, that's a metaphor for, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I get the Jesus in the us part. And then it just clicked. It was like, if you look away for a split second, you're going to miss what God may have for you.
You got to get your eyes on him. You have to keep your eyes on him. And that is done how on a daily basis?
I feel reading the word and praying.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you maintain a constant contact. It's like if you're married, when Eddie and I were married and we'd spend time together watching TV, whatever we were doing, we would maintain contact with each other. We would talk with each other.
Right.
We would communicate with each other. And that's how we kept that going.
Exactly.
And that's how we keep it going.
That's right.
The spiritual life.
So in a relationship that you're working on, that you want to be successful, you spend time and you know, what's the old thing they say? Long distance relationships are real hard to make happen for very long.
Well, it's all about communication.
It's communication.
It's all about communication. No relationship, whether it is personal or business,
right,
is gonna grow.
Right.
If you don't talk to each other, if you don't see each other, if you don't tell each other honestly how you feel and what's going on, you know, and yeah, it's really hard. I'll admit it. It's really hard when you don't have something tangible in front of you, you know, a face that, you know, God looks like this. He's got, you know, green hair and, you know, a beard. And
I don't think it's green hair, but that's
okay. But
you know
my point. I mean, you know, if you don't have something that you know, it's really hard to say, yeah, well, I know he's there. I believe him. I see him, you know.
But you have to do that by faith, you know, because you feel him and he does talk to us.
Right.
He talks
and,
to
and
us.
And staying in the word is that tangible thing.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And for anybody out there, you know what, Nan, please forgive me.
Okay, Deb, I will forgive you in advance.
Because you know what I'm going to say.
I don't know what you're going to say, but let's all
I don't
listen.
Know either, but I'm concerned, but go ahead.
You know, the King James Bible for it for its time was a good thing.
Right.
I forgive you, Deb.
Now, when you're far enough along in your walk that you can understand the King James Bible, like Nan does.
She does.
Because Nan lives and breathes the King James. And that's cool.
And that's okay, because that's how
she
grew up.
I have a message. I bought a message just to be able to keep up with the pastor, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I leather bound at that. But anyway.
But you know what?
Cool.
People, there's all kinds of Bibles out there.
Right. You know? It's something you understand.
Exactly. And the Message Bible is so plainly spoken.
Right.
You know, it's language that you and I use every day.
Right.
And if you can get one that's a cross-reference between another version, you can read, like, you know, my New Living Translation, and then right next to it, it has, you know, the Message Translation.
Right.
And you go, oh, wow, that's what that means? Because the cool thing about the Message Bible is, just like Pastor said, what is this scripture a metaphor for?
Right.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there that go, what's a metaphor? You know, well,
it's message, a teaching point.
Yeah,
it's
the Message Bible tells you
a lot of those.
You know, it doesn't say this is a metaphor or this is a metaphor for. But my point is, the Message Bible puts it in plain language. You can go, oh, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I agree.
You know,
it's great.
Find you the Bible that works.
Right.
And you know what? Any Bible bookstore, if you go in and go, I don't know, they're going to take you over and they're going to ask you what you need.
Right.
They'll show you. You can look at them.
Mm-hmm.
You can read them. You can feel them.
Right. And that's really good. Go
Sister
ahead.
Deb, I love you. No, I concur with you. And just, you know, I'm so comfortable with the King James Version because I was raised on the King James Version.
Memorized
you know,
it.
And
me
that's
too.
What I
memorized
learned. That's
it.
What I came up with. That's what I memorized. Mm-hmm. My King James Version, this is a little bit worn because this is the one I've used for, you know, 15, 20 years. I do have a Message Bible, you know, and I think people do need to get a Bible that meets
Right. Bibles meet our needs, but I think it needs to be worded in such a way that we can really understand
it. Absolutely.
You know, and someone who has never been in church, who is 45 years old and is wanting to read the Bible, probably does not need to pick up a King James Version.
Right. They need
Whereas
something easier.
Whereas I'm 50
easier.
And has been and for, forever, you know, they need to get something that's easier right. because then they may wind up not reading, which defeats the whole purpose of
exactly.
what God wants in their life. And he wants them to read the word.
Absolutely.
So
that's
the message
it.
Is fantastic. It's a fantastic Bible.
Good point. Okay. So here we have Elijah and Elisha. Elijah has just done a miracle. He has thrown his mantle out and they have walked across the Jordan River on dry land. Ground at the same time. So there they are, and Elijah is getting ready to be taken up into heaven. And his last thing he says to Elisha is, "What can I do for you?" And that is what Jesus says to us. What do you want me to do for you? What is it you want? That's why I've been just like hammering heaven. I want all of our people in Radio Land and at Beacon of Hope physically to have a fresh encounter with God. That's what I want, God. This is what I want. This is the passion of my life. God, we want to understand that we are in the palm of your hand and you're working on us. Listen to this song, and then we're going to finish up talking about Elijah's trip, the Potter's Hand. We did this.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure.
I'm captured by your
Wow. We did that song in our praise and worship this morning at Beacon of Hope. That is not us. But I tell you, our praise band sounded about that good. It was incredible. And it did that same thing, Engineer Bill, that it's doing in you and me right now. Tears are running down our engineer's eyes. And I love it. Because God is saying right there, you are in the palm of his hand. He loves you, Bill, so much. And all those out there in radio land, he's doing something in your life that you can't see, but God is working on the inside of you. He's the potter. We're the clay.
Yes. Yes.
And that's Jeremiah 18, where God said to the prophet Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house because I want to show you another picture. You know, God was always showing Jeremiah what he was doing, and he said, you know, I'm the potter, you're the clay, I'm just in here molding you and making you and changing you. And oh my, it comes through those stages in our lives. And when we come to the Jordan River and we say, okay, God, I give up, not my will anymore, but your will be done in my life. I'm tired of fighting and trying to make it be everything I want my life to be. And I surrender to your lordship. God, you're the potter, I'm the clay. And that's what was going on the road trip with Elijah and Elisha. And so it happened. Verse 11. They were walking along and talking. Suddenly, one of my favorite words, and God's been bringing that back the last few weeks, suddenly, a chariot and horses of fire came between them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind to heaven. There are two people who have not died, two biblical people. Enoch, he was translated into heaven, and Elijah. These two guys will come again at the end of the age, and they will die physically. It's part of the book of Revelation. Elijah and Enoch will, they are the two witnesses, and they will die physically. They're in heaven in their earthly body still, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And
they're just waiting.
Yeah, they're just waiting for their time. So Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. It says a chariot and horses. That's God's golf cart. It's the one he uses. It is a chariot of fire and horses, because God is symbolized by fire all through the word. So he is taken up, and Elisha sees it, and he shouts, my father, because they had that father-son relationship. You, the chariot, the cavalry of Israel. Can you just hear him going, Here's the cool thing. Elijah told him, if you see me go, you got your double portion. And Elisha saw him go. Elisha saw his mentor, Elijah, be taken up into heaven, who is a symbol of Jesus. And when we really see Jesus in all his glory, and the fact that he's up in heaven right now interceding for us, he sits beside the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and he loves us so very much. And when we really see him and we say, God, I want everything you have for me in this life. I don't want to just keep plugging along and doing my own thing. I want you to clean me up, mold me, like that song said, make me, change me. Oh, God, I need all of that in my life. And when we do that, God meets us, and immediately Elisha tore up his own mantle, because that's symbolic of the doing it the way he thought it should be done. You got to tear that up. You got to die. And Elisha let that drop, and he picked up Elijah's mantle, which is symbolic of Jesus. We take up the word. Jesus is the word. And we say, I'm doing it your way. I'm doing it your way. Not that old Frank Sinatra song, I'm doing it my way, whatever that was. You know, no. Jesus, I'm doing it your way. I'm living on a daily basis, listening to your voice, following you, letting you clean me up and change me. And by faith, I receive that you can and will do that. And when that happened, Elisha took up Elijah's mantle that fell, and struck the water with it. And, of course, the water went back into dry land, and he just walked across. And, wow, what a road trip was that.
Awesome.
How does that affect our daily life?
I think it tells us, reminds us how important it is to stay present with God.
Amen.
Because you never know when you're going to miss that moment.
Absolutely.
Because Elisha could have said, yeah, I'm wondering in that scripture, because nowhere that I've read does it actually say that Elisha knew that day Elijah was going.
I think so. The prophets knew, so I think it stands to reason Elisha knew.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't say that.
But, you know, it's like, what if he had just said, well, you know, today's my last day, you know, it's been good, but you go ahead and go do your thing, and I'm going to clean up here, and, you know, what he would have missed.
What he would have missed. Seeing Jesus in all his glory. We just can't. We can't begin to understand what God really wants to do in each of our lives when we see him. What you thinking, Nan?
You know, at the end of the program, you always say closing thoughts. I was actually thinking my closing thought.
Go ahead. Let's do it.
Well, I kind of felt like I was supposed to say something just along the lines of asking anything. And I feel just really strongly in my spirit that perhaps there's someone listening who is deeply depressed and considering suicide. And I just want to encourage them to ask God for a better life.
Right.
And he'll give it to them.
Amen.
And if they are feeling that way, I mean, I know what it's like. The closest I ever came to doing that was when my son was 1 year old, and I sat with a gun to my head, and I said, I'm in a bad marriage, and I can't live this way anymore. And the only thing that kept me from blowing my brains out was the thought I had a 1 year old son. I didn't want to leave him motherless.
Right.
He's 20 now.
Yes.
So that's been a long time ago.
Right.
Earlier in this year, I dealt with depression, suicide. You and Connie know about all that.
Right.
And it was really bad.
Yeah.
And it came close a couple times.
Yeah.
That you guys don't even realize how close. And I just want to encourage somebody, and I believe there's somebody out there because it's very strong in my spirit.
Okay.
And what they can do is ask God for a better life. They can also send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Amen.
It'll be put on the prayer line.
Amen.
And we'll pray for them.
Exactly.
But I just want to encourage them to ask God for a better life.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. You know, if you are one out there that you're saying, you know, I need to commit my life to Jesus, now is the moment. Right now is
Amen.
The time.
Yes, it is.
And so if you are out there and you're saying, I'm not sure that I'm saved, and if I died tonight, would I go to heaven? I want you to repeat this prayer after me right now and accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Deb, why don't you repeat it and they can join you. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I ask you to forgive my sin and all that I've done.
I ask you to forgive my sin and all that I have done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on the cross for my sins and my sicknesses.
That he died on the cross for my sins and my sicknesses.
And that he is the risen Lord.
And that he is the risen Lord.
And that he is seated at the right hand of the Father even now.
And that he is seated at the right hand of the Father even now.
I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior.
I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior.
And I ask you to fill me up with your presence.
And I ask you to fill me up with your presence.
Give me a new life in you.
Give me a new life in you.
Teach me your ways.
Teach me your ways.
And give me a desire for your word.
And give me a desire for your word.
I begin my new life right now.
Amen. I begin my new life right now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Wow.
Amen. Amen.
Mm. You know, when we feel the weakest, he is the strongest.
Amen.
And that song, His Strength is Perfect When My Strength is Gone. We're going to go back to it in a minute, Bill. Not quite. Did you have a final thought, Deb?
Well, I think, you know, all of us on some level, we set goals for ourselves. And, you know, our goals are always to better who we are and where we are in life.
Right.
And, you know, I think that sometimes we're prideful and we're afraid to ask God for what we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we could all be like Elisha
mm-hmm.
and step up
Amen.
And just ask God for what you want.
Right.
You know, God knows what you need.
Right.
God takes care of your needs.
Right.
And I think that we need to set that goal for ourselves of stepping up and being honest with God.
Amen.
And asking for what we need.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And telling God where we are.
Right.
I think that's really important.
Just be honest and tell him.
And I think that's what this whole thing is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about stepping forward and being present in the moment.
Right.
And asking for what we want.
Amen. Good points. Thank you. Nan, did you have some final thoughts?
Just people need to ask, and then God will give them. I mean, we limit God sometimes.
Right.
I limit God sometimes. You know, if you set a goal for 5, are you going to get 5? You almost set it for 10. You want to get 10. You know, he's a big God, and he'll give us what we need and what we desire. We just need to ask him.
We need to ask.
We need to ask.
And we need to move into this realm. His strength is perfect.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do for me. No great success to show. No glory of my own, yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when
the truth. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. And that's what it's all about.
Amen.
Elisha understood that in his own strength, he could not continue and be that prophet of God. Elisha is a perfect example to us of how we just look up and see Jesus and realize that he's going to help us through. Wow, it's been a powerful, powerful show today. Nan, I thank you for joining us for the very first time.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been wonderful, and God's been here.
Amen. He has. Thanks, Deb, as always. All right, join us Sunday mornings at 10 if you're in the area at Beacon of Hope Ministries, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater, Florida. Wednesday night Bible study at 7, prayer meeting at 6:15, and this Friday night beach worship at Indian Rocks Beach. Under the tent with our guitars, 7 o'clock. It's going to be great. Tomorrow morning, Labor Day picnic, baptismal, and kayaking fun at Dunedin Causeway. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister with my buddies Deb and Nan, and it's been fun.
Fun.
It's really been good. We're glad you've all joined us today. Go to our website, BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com, and catch some other shows that are there. Have a great week. It's not far to Jesus. See you next week live.
It's not far.